Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing. Episode 9, Slumgullion. This one's dedicated to my Grandpa Jack. 1988, 2 years into our relationship, Bill and I quit our jobs and cashed in our savings and turned in our keys, and off we went to Asia for a year, our backpacks the only things we owned. Dancing in Bali, caving in Thailand, trekking in the Himalayas. On New Year's Eve, we celebrated at the Oriental Hotel in Bangkok, watching fireworks erupt from boats on the river. Bangkok was hot in January. The streets of Banglampu teemed with young travelers from around the globe bursting with freedom. Khao San Road at night exploded into carnival, cacophony, world beat. Unemployed elephants paraded, their teak forests in the north burning from the wars in Burma and the Japanese deforestation. Around us, a festival of light, color, night, a mélange of the world's youngest girls with no bras and almost no shirts, guys so built that even I, lost so deeply in my head, had to look. Horrors not yet as sad as the shadows behind their eyes said they'd become in a few months. On Khao San Road, print shops charged next to nothing for business cards that read, "No home, no job, no money, no worries." The traveler's mantra. Bucket shops lined both sides of the street, offering discount tickets everywhere. After 7 months in Southeast Asia, Bill and I bought tickets from Bangkok to Tokyo via San Francisco. And these tickets were crazy cheap and only $100 more than the tickets straight to Japan. Bill wanted to have his 40th birthday with his kids, so we returned to San Francisco for what we thought would be a few weeks, quote, a vacation from traveling, unquote, we said. We'd gather our good clothes and go to Tokyo to make money because we were broke. And in Tokyo, the yen were leaping out of the salarymen's pockets. This wasn't just a pipe dream. Japan was at the height of its boom years. We could teach English. I could work in hostess bars. But when we got to California, my Grandpa Jack had the flu. We went to see him, and he got out of bed, got dressed into his brown slacks, green velour shirt, and socks and shoes. He was always dapper, and came into the living room of my grandparents' apartment on Laguna Street. After a brief visit, he went to lie down again. 2 days later, he got dressed again and walked out the door and down the 6 flights of stairs to the car and went to Kaiser. The whole clan gathered. By the time he was dying in the Kaiser ICU, there were close to 40 of us there in the waiting room, cycling in and out of the room where he lay hooked to the respirator. More people than when the King of the Gypsies was here, the nurses told us. We sang to him, a dozen of us around his bed at a time. I sat on my mother's lap. She held me fiercely around the waist, needing me to stay, although I wanted to run. I held my grandfather's feet, cold and yellowing, as we sang, watching the zigzag beating of the machines. The respirator breathed for him. His face swelled. My Aunt Kathy said, "Look, Daddy's rallying," as his blood pressure went up. We sang. He died. It rained the day of his burial, in the same cemetery where almost 20 years later we would bury Bill, carrying the coffin up the hillside, laying gifts on the coffin in the same way before they lowered it down. Hey, this is Erica, and you're listening to Licking the Bowl. I'll give you the rest of the story after we talk about this episode's recipe. Grandpa Jack's Slumgullion Salad. What's Slumgullion? It's an old word. It came from the gold rush. It meant originally that horrible sludge that's left after they extract the gold from the hills. And then it became a culinary term for really disgusting ingredients thrown together and cooked into a sludge or a stew. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm familiar with the word through my Grandpa Jack, who would often eat this for lunch, along with a bowl of Progresso beef and vegetable soup. The name Slumgullion that he gave it just shows his wonderful sense of humor. God, I miss that man. It's basically a dressy, healthy cottage cheese salad. Now, this is a situation of the combination transcending the individual ingredients. It's a fun and easy word to say, Slumgullion. And every time I eat it, I think of my Grandpa Jack. Your simple ingredients are cottage cheese, either the full-fat, small-curd version, which I like, or whatever you want. Maybe about half a cup to a full cup per serving. And then add chopped green onions, diced tomatoes, sliced avocado, chunked cucumber, red bell pepper. You get the picture. Salt and pepper. Stir the chunks into the cottage cheese gently, season, and eat. Can't you just see my Grandpa Jack wearing a velour shirt and a big smile, sitting at the round table in the living room of their St. Francis Square apartment, looking west through the sliding glass balcony door, orange flowers and blue vases, and magazines and newspapers piled on all the coffee tables. Licking the bowl. Sometimes it's literal. Sometimes it's metaphorical. Always, it's delicious. After Grandpa died, Bill and I stayed in the Bay Area for almost 2 months. I stayed at my parents' house and Bill slept on a friend's couch. We stayed until my grandpa's memorial, hundreds of people at the Longshoremen's Hall. And then we packed our suitcases and flew to Tokyo. We had $250 and one credit card with an $800 limit. We arrived in Tokyo at the beginning of Golden Week with everything closed down. We were in shock. I was grieving my grandfather so hard, and nothing could rouse me from the gray. And the city was gray and expensive. A melon cost $38. Granted, we said to each other, it's a very nice melon. We ate at McDonald's, our beloved sushi out of reach financially. And we worked our way through a bad rooming house, through a friend of a friend's house, and finally to Miracle House, a small gaijin house on the edge of the city. The industrial neighborhood where we lived was surrounded by graveyards, filled with small homes and old-fashioned factory housing. A tiny enclave of older, slower Japan. Away from the major districts, the metropolitan lights of Shinjuku, the clubs of Akasaka, the big stores of Shibuya, the glitz of Ginza, Tokyo was the merging of 1,000 tiny villages. Thin, laundry-draped streets wound past shops and the local public bath. Thick cords of electric lines overhead echoed their convolutions. Walls and fences and gates lined the streets. There were no sidewalks. Houses roofed with red and blue tiles stood a foot behind the walls. Between the walls and the houses were flat, trained, angular trees. Past the temple with its soaring roof, past the smells of the tatami mat shop where a man with a wooden mallet made tatamis by hand. At the small grocery store on the corner, I bought expensive vegetables and put them in my string bag. I passed stores that sold gift-wrapped desserts, seaweed stores, dishware, and chopstick stores, an outside yakitori stand, and a sushi stand where I got uncut tekamaki to take home to Bill. I passed fried tempura snack stands and noodle houses and little restaurants that served nothing but oyakodonburi. I stopped at the butcher for pork, the cheapest meat, and at the little hole-in-the-wall tofu shop where fresh soybean blocks floated in tanks of water. In the basement of the big department stores were the fish markets. The sea was still plentiful then. Tokyo was plentiful then. We had furnished our tiny tatami room from discards left on the street, an almost new television, a perfect rice cooker. Miracle House was populated by young Israeli travelers who had just gotten out of the army. They had their own rackets, and because we were American Jews and therefore family, they took us in. Bill found a teaching gig, and I sold light-up plastic roses on the street to drunk salarymen and their whores. I busked, singing and dancing until almost midnight on the streets of Akasaka, and then I would meet with my friend Ayala, who also lived at Miracle House, and we'd go to Club Lala and sit with men, pour them their Remy Martin, talk with them in English, and sing karaoke until 4 a.m. The bartender would serve us fresh curry rice or eggs cooked a long time in broth, and then at 6 a.m., the trains would begin running again, and we'd travel back to Miracle House an hour and a half, where Bill would just be waking up for the day. Bill and I lived in Tokyo for 3 months. I grieved my grandpa Jack. We worked hard, ships in the night, seeing each other only in the early morning when I got back from work and he was waking up, and briefly in the evening between his work and me heading out to perform and sell plastic roses. I grieved the entire time, seeing Tokyo and the people who lived there as if through a glass wall with no door. I didn't love it. I found it a clean and hidden and passionless place. But that might have been my grief. One morning, as I lay on the futon willing myself to sleep, I looked down at my bare feet, and they turned into my grandfather's, yellowing and cold. So it goes with grief. It becomes the very foundation we walk on. I learned then there may be geographical remissions, but there are no geographical cures. We got out of Tokyo only once, a magical trip by train to Mount Fuji, where we climbed halfway up the mountain and made love in the trees, and a magical hitchhiking trip back, where we were picked up by a businessman in an enormous Mercedes with a driver who took us to eat tempura. After 3 months in Tokyo, our visas were expiring, so we came home. We came home with enough money to rent an apartment in Oakland, buy a cheap used car, and 3 months later get married in our Oakland backyard. This is Erica, and that's episode 9 of Licking the Bowl. We'll do a chicken update next time. Promise. Come find us at lickingthebowl.com. All of the recipes are there. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. We do new episodes frequently, so keep checking back or subscribe. You can reach me at Erica with a C and a K at lickingthebowl.com. And don't forget to lick the bowl.